The House Armed Services Committee heard from the top enlisted officials from each of the armed services last week. To a person, they each said there's a zero-tolerance stance toward hazing in their services. And as Rick West, the Master Chief Petty Officer of the Navy, testified, hazing is nowhere near as pervasive as it was when he joined.
And I can tell you from then to today, it is night and day in comparison. We have put several corrective measures, as I previously stated, into place. We are constantly talking about it.
Same goes for the Army, says Raymond Chandler, the Sergeant Major of the Army. He joined at about the same time.
I stood on the back deck of my tank on Grafenwehr, Germany in 1982 and was promoted to PV2 private. And at that time, it was very common practice to have the backing taken off of your rank and basically people punch it into your skin. And that was a common practice throughout the Army. That is not a common practice today. You call those blood stripes. Another measure that used to happen in the past was a gauntlet, where soldiers from the platoon would line up on either side, and as a soldier walked by, they'd punch him or her in the arm. We don't tolerate that anymore, and that really started to change back in the mid-90s, when we realized that those types of behaviors were not in keeping with who we say we are as professional soldiers.
Military officials say most of the hazing cases they track are still rites of passage type incidents connected to a promotion or another significant event. They're prohibited when they involve activities like inflicting pain, demeaning or humiliating a service member, or forced drinking. But several recent incidents were not rites of passage. Army Private Danny Chen took his own life in Afghanistan last year after allegedly being beaten by fellow soldiers and harassed because of his race. Earlier in the year, a young Marine in Afghanistan took his own life after enduring severe physical abuse. And the Navy discharged 8 sailors from the USS Bonham Richard in a case where they were accused of assaulting and choking a shipmate. Congressman Mike Kaufman, a Colorado Republican who served in both the Army and Marine Corps, says Congress is right to be concerned about hazing, but he thinks the problems are more fundamental.
I think what we really fundamentally have at the end of the day is a failure of small unit leadership, is a failure of NCO leadership. When you're in a ground combat team, there is no stronger interdependent bond. And it's for somebody who's never been in that situation, who's never been a part of a ground combat team, could never realize how difficult that is when you've been rejected by that team and you're there, and you're there. I think that if we say that if we've corrected hazing and we don't deal with the psychological component of this, we've really missed the mark. This is much more about physical hazing. This is really about a fundamental failure of leadership at the most basic levels.
California Congresswoman Judy Chu has a very personal connection to the issue. Her nephew was Lance Corporal Harry Liu, the Marine who took his own life in Afghanistan last year. It was just hours after he underwent severe abuse after his sergeant caught him sleeping on duty.
Harry's peers took it upon themselves to administer justice and corrective training. They berated him and ordered him to dig a foxhole, to do push-ups, crunches, and planks with his heavy full body armor and a 25-pound sandbag. They stomped on his back, kicked and punched him, and poured the entire contents of a sandbag onto his face and in his mouth. It lasted a full 3 hours and 20 minutes. Finally, 22 minutes after they stopped, at 3:43 a.m., Harry climbed into a foxhole and killed himself with his own gun. He was 21 years old.
Chu says following her nephew's case closely has led her to the conclusion that there's a disconnect between the hazing policies military leaders prescribe and how hazing is actually viewed in the military ranks. She claims the difference between how the outside world views hazing and how it's seen in the military is like night and day.
The outside is horrified, but from the inside of the military, the top brass usually says, "We prohibit hazing. We do not tolerate hazing. These are isolated incidents. We are perfect." But the rank-and-file soldier, almost to a person, usually says hazing is necessary to correct bad behavior and keep soldiers strong. Better one person die, even at the hand of his fellow service members, than compromise the entire unit's safety. Why do I know people say this? Because I heard them say it at the jury trial over and over again as a defense for those Marines. And I saw it in the letters to the editors, and I saw it in the blogs. This is the attitude that is in the military, and it's pervasive.
The Army's Chandler disagrees that hazing is pervasive, but he also says his service takes it extremely seriously.
I'm personally disturbed by hazing. Okay, I'm appalled and I'm disgusted by the actions of soldiers who I, as the senior enlisted leader for our Army, are here representing. I don't poo-poo this. When a young man or woman is hazed, it's not corrective training. It's abuse. And there is a significant difference between abuse and corrective training. From the Army perspective, from my perspective, now, this is not something that we're going to tolerate. And I am committed, along with the rest of the Army leadership, to solve this problem. It is against who we say we are. And if one man or woman, one of our brothers or sisters, dies because of our own actions, that is not okay with me. And I'm committed to this.
Michael Barrett, the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, had much the same message.
We are taking an aggressive stance and fight towards all disgusting societal issues and concerns that are plaguing the services. And I'm not talking just about hazing. I'm talking about drugs, alcohol, domestic violence, criminal mischief, sexual misconduct, hazing, operational stress, force preservation measures, hazing, and suicide. I refer to them as the insurgents inside of our wire, and it's affecting every single service sitting at this table. We are aggressive. We are constantly taking and making assessments, and we are going after a problem when we see the problem. Ma'am, what happened to Lance Corporal Lou is disgusting. The small unit leadership that the congressman was speaking of, he is absolutely spot on. The small unit leadership failed. I wish I could take it all back. We should have done better.
The Marine Corps is trying to do better. Last month, the service's commandant issued new guidance emphasizing the zero-tolerance policy, and the Marines will begin tracking hazing cases through its internal criminal investigative system. The Air Force, Army, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard each do at least some tracking already, but they all face a common challenge in assembling that data. There's no single crime called hazing in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Nonetheless, James Roy, the Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, says they have identified and prosecuted cases.
However, we do track through our IG system. We have tracked since 2005 21 different incidents. Of that, one being substantiated. The others, as we turn them to command and they report back to us on which actions were taken, again, one of them being substantiated.
The Navy now requires all substantiated hazing cases to be reported all the way up to the Chief of Naval Operations. There have been 46 reported cases since 2009. 20 of them have led to disciplinary action. The Army has labeled 71 cases as hazing since 2006, involving 139 alleged perpetrators. 65 of those soldiers were punished in some way. The Coast Guard has had 9 court-martial cases since 2009, 7 of them at one unit. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.